We will fill you in on where we're at and what we're doing. We are currently going through a series called Blessed, as you can see on the stage, if you haven't figured that out yet. We are looking at a few ways that God blesses us, only a few because we can't hit all of them. And so each week we've been looking at a different blessing. And we have challenged everyone to go to social media, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, using the hashtag CCCBlessed. And at least once during this series, we challenge everyone to post a picture, a story, a statement of how God has blessed you. And it's been really great to see all the different people that have started doing that. We want to share two of those today. These people gave us permission to share an excerpt of their blessing. So the first one is with Kathleen Moman. And she says, as a new foster parent, I have continually found God's presence in the form of peace and compassion in relation to my sweet baby's biological parents. My heart has ached for them only because of his presence, which is a true blessing in this period of our lives. And we appreciate her sharing that. And that came from the very first week when we talked about the blessing of God's presence. And the other one I want to share with you today is from Brenda Renner. And she's sharing a little bit about how her husband Jamie had cancer. I'm so thankful that Jamie is over 2 years into remission, and God continues to bless us in so many ways. It is amazing the plans God has for Jamie. We can always rest in his presence and feel comfort. So we praise God for what God's been doing in Brenda and Jamie's life. And so puts it out there for people to see how God is alive and blessing us. Today we are going to be talking about the blessing of recovery, which also can be used with the word healing or restoration. So what is recovery? So we have a definition on the screen here to start with. The act or process of returning to a healthy state after a period of difficulty. And the word restoration is very similar to recovery. And the definition of restoration, the act of mending something to a former condition. So in a biblical sense, what we are looking at today is how each of us has a design and a purpose in our life that God has pressed on our hearts and his desire for us. But what happens is based on our own choices, our own decisions, our own will, or maybe other people's decisions that have affected us, we get out of alignment with what God's plan is for us. So we're over here living outside of what God has desired for us. And so this restoration and recovery is God putting back into our lives his intent for us. And that's what recovery and restoration is. I hope that makes sense to you. That's what we're talking about. We'll look at a couple of scriptures in the Old Testament. So the first scripture I'd like to look at is Psalm 34:8. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Go to the Lord and seek refuge and safety. And we are blessed by that. The second scripture is Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17. And listen to this, what God says. For I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal. Now, notice the word will. It doesn't say may, does it? I may restore health to you, and your wounds I may heal. I will restore health, and I will heal. Now, one of the great stories in the Bible that I absolutely love is a story of Jesus in the context of community and restoring someone. It's about a paralyzed man who's been on a mat, and his life is pretty much consistent of living on that mat, and then how God, through his people, restores him. So this is in Mark chapter 2, verse 1 through 12, and we're going to read this together. So let's stand in honor of the Word of God, and let's read this scripture. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking such things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." And I love this part. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." All right, you can go ahead and take a seat. When we look at this scripture, I think it's important to just point out a couple of things in the context of what we're talking about today. First, you have this man who opens up his home for Jesus to teach to people. And we don't know exactly how this happened, but word probably got out pretty quick that Jesus was coming into this guy's house. So imagine your own living room, wall-to-wall people, where you can hardly breathe, Jesus in the middle, and people are continuing to cram in, and they're outside the doors so they could hear, and they're so far outside the door, they can no longer hear. So it's really, really crowded. So over here, down the street, maybe, I don't know, is this man who has an affliction. He's paralyzed, he's on a mat, and he has four of the best friends he could ask for. Probably the best small group you could ask for, right? And so they are thinking, we need to get him to Jesus because we know and we've heard Jesus heals. So they show up, it's crowded, they can't get in the room. So they do something very creative. If you really listen to this story, they get on the roof and start digging a hole in the roof. Now the guy who owns this house, what do you think he's thinking? All these people are intently listening to Jesus, but yet he's probably seeing all this stuff fall through the roof and these four heads peek down in. And anyway, we know the story. He gets to Jesus, Jesus heals him, and then he has a testimony for everyone else to see. Right? So they were very creative in what they needed to do to help someone find restoration and healing. We as a church, we want to provide community where lives can be transformed for the sake of the kingdom. Where an introduction to Jesus, they are offered the opportunity to make a decision to trust Jesus, and then lives are transformed. Because God is in the business of transforming lives. That's what it's all about. Whenever we provide a place where love and acceptance are offered, regardless of people's needs, regardless of people's wants, when you provide love and acceptance, and then you add to that the power of the gospel, lives can be transformed. Now, some of you I know, you've experienced that. You know what that means, that you met the Lord, you committed your life to the Lord, and your life was transformed. It doesn't mean things are perfect, right? It doesn't mean that things are smooth sailing from here on out, but there is a peace that only through the power of the Holy Spirit that you have. So I'm very excited. Today, we have three people that are going to share with you today. Since it is Celebrate Recovery, our anniversary, I've asked three of the team leaders to share with us. And they're going to share how their lives have been transformed. So pray for them when they come up, that their nerves will be calm. But the first one is Aaron, followed by Adam, and then Chris will do cleanup. So, Aaron, you want to come on up?
Good morning. Good morning. You guys are my forever family, so I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and my name is Erin, and I'm a recovering addict. My addiction began in the late 80s when my parents and I moved to Columbus from Florida. I had been confused and struggled for a long time with a sense of not belonging. I was bullied throughout school, and I even went through abuse as a child. At the age of 17, I found a new set of friends that introduced me to drugs. Using quickly became my way of coping and my best friend. As the years passed, I had finally found acceptance through drugs and the people that did drugs. For years, I went through numerous abusive relationships and settling for that to be my destiny. Of course, they loved me, so how could that be wrong? In 2004, I was married. I had three beautiful children, a career in a pharmacy, and I could no longer, and at that time, I could no longer be a wife, use meth while working, and so I quit my job as career in the pharmacy. My life was out of control. By 2006, I had lost my husband and children, my home, and all self-respect. I did whatever it took to get high and be high for the next 2 years. On September 26, 2008, I was invited to church. Imagine me, a broken woman, high, full of the world, walking into church. That day changed my life. God intervened in my life and saved me from the destruction that I had caused. He changed something inside of me that couldn't be explained. All I knew was I no longer had a desire to use or be abused. I ran to him and he comforted me and accepted me. This I remember. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. God promised me this as I got clean, and I've held on to that promise for 8 years and 10 months. I visited a little group called Celebrate Recovery in 2010, and I've not left. Through Christ and this program, I finally found my acceptance and belonging. In Isaiah 1:18, it says, "Come now, let us settle this matter. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." Jesus took all of my sins, my habits, my emotional instability, and used them for his good. In his eyes, I'm new. I'm priceless. He calls me his daughter, friend. He tells me I'm good and that he loves me. He has never failed me. I am his creation, and he is my savior. I've learned how to admit my wrongs through working the 8 principles and 12 steps of Celebrate Recovery. And even though it hurts sometimes, I've came to believe and know by experience God is always with me, and he gives me the power to recover. Today, my recovery depends on my relationship with Christ. Through all of my failures, successes, the actions of other people, betrayal, worry, and stress, nothing has separated me from Christ. He has restored the relationships between me and my children, my sisters and family, and he's seen to it that I would regain the trust and confidence in my current employer so that I could work in a pharmacy again and have my career back. Without a recovery program like Celebrate Recovery, I don't know where I'd be at with my personal relationship with Christ. So as I close today, I'd just like to say thank you to the men and women of Community Church of Columbus who began this program 12 years ago. My gratitude goes out to you all for your time and compassion each and every week you open the doors. For the church, the pastor and elders, thank you for believing in broken people, accepting them for who they are like Jesus would, and supporting those who deal with life's hurts, habits, and hang-ups every single day. To the women in my life, my sponsor and my accountability team, the women that I sponsor, and my mentors, I want what you have, and that is Christ, and thank you for teaching me to be a better woman. I love my new life now, and I'd say I'm addicted to recovery, not drugs. God has called me to lead at Celebrate Recovery. I found my new acceptance, a new forever family, a place to love God and others. As I continue on my road to recovery, I'm prayerful for God's vision and His will for my life. I'm so grateful today to be alive and able to serve an almighty God, and I am blessed by recovery. That's all I have.
Hello, my name's Adam, and I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I struggle with addiction and talking to large groups of people. In Celebrate Recovery, we work to overcome life's hurts, habits, and hang-ups. For me personally, it helps me identify the process my hurts and hang-ups so they don't lead me back to developing habits that are destructive, which aren't confined to just substance abuse for us. Life can be a struggle, and it's up to us how we get through it. I've learned to trust God in all I do now. I've dealt with opiate addiction for close to 14 years now, and it's led me to the darkest, most desperate, and depressing times of my life. It sneaks up on you. It's not something that just comes beating down your door one day. It starts as something you do occasionally to consuming who you are as a person, taking everything you love and have. Addiction broke me down to a place I never imagined I would stoop to. I've lost jobs, pushed my family and friends away, gotten kicked out of places I lived, lost the rights to my children, and even been homeless. I was self-centered and ungrateful. All I was worried about was myself and blaming someone else. The only time I reached out to God was to blame Him for something that I got myself into. My rock bottom was being on the streets in January last year with only the clothes on my back and a bag of drugs in my pocket and less than 10 bucks to my name. And I was still too prideful to ask for or admit I needed help. If it wasn't for my friend Chris reaching out to my parents, I probably wouldn't be speaking to you today. Even though I knew my situation was desperate, I couldn't bring myself to ask for help. I'm very blessed to have the parents that I do. They picked me up, no questions asked, opened their home to me, even though this was far from the first time I'd been at a bad spot and needed their help. Sorry, I'm not good at this. I knew I wouldn't be able to do it on my own, because believe me, I'd tried. But I didn't know what options were available for an unemployed addict without insurance. And to be honest, that's terrifying. Fortunately, I was able to get into an IOP program at Centerstone. Attending outside meetings such as AA, NA, and CR was a requirement for that program. This was the first time I'd ever heard of CR. And to be honest, the first time I went was because we got extra credit for going. But once I went once, I never quit going back. Even from the first Wednesday morning meeting I went to, I felt that it was a better fit for me. I just felt that the program spoke to me more. I'll be the first to admit that my relationship with the big guy upstairs was pretty non-existent in my life till CR. As I continued to attend, I began working to grow that relationship. For years, I'd never thought I deserved to be happy or forgiven for all I've done. God has shown me otherwise 100 times over. I've gone from being homeless on the streets in Indy with no job, no car, no driver's license, strung out on pills and heroin, with no hope of ever being able to make a change. To being able to stand up here and share part of my story with you. And that's proof that all things are possible through God. I'm very grateful for all the opportunities he provides me with. I believe he's involved in my life as I let him be. I was told a long time ago that God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. It's important to let people know what we're about and that change is possible for all of our lives. Recovery is a lifelong commitment, and I'm very fortunate to have accomplished all I have so far. A growing relationship with God, rebuilding relationships with my family and friends, have a good job, my license back, a car. And it's important to me to be helping others in recovery. Don't get me wrong, life still has its ups and downs, but with CR, I can better work through these challenges. He gives me the strength to work through these things and reach my goals. I hope to one day have the opportunity to be a part of my daughter's lives again. Even as painful as it is, being away from them has been the right thing, because I was not a person I wanted them to be around. And it took me a long time to admit that. I just pray and trust in God's plan. And I've definitely learned that my timeline doesn't match up with his. Thanks for letting me share.
That's not the picture I wanted, Scott. You saw the one I wanted. Hi, my name is Chris. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I am a recovering drug addict. my story starts, first time I ever did drugs, I was 13 years old. It was an eighth grade locker room, and I jumped in feet first. My addictions were amphetamines, methamphetamine, coke, pain pills, and heroin to sleep. And those drugs took me all over the world. I can honestly say that for 17 years of my life, I never wanted to stop drugs. I never tried to quit. I never wanted to quit. It was a story. It made me be larger than life. It took me everywhere. In my early 20s, I became the first American signed to play American football in Hungary. And I was a larger than life character. But the drugs went from being fun to something that consumed my entire life. When I was about 28 years old, I was with a female, and we had a daughter, raised my daughter for 2 years, and I gave her my heart and soul. On my daughter's second birthday, a guy I really didn't know, two police officers and a caseworker showed up at my home. And they asked me to sit on the couch. And the guy who was in my doorway was my daughter's actual dad, and the woman I was with was married behind my back. So at that point, I didn't want to be around anybody in my life. I pushed anyone and everyone out of my life. I became isolated. I became a very hateful, spiteful man, manipulative man. And I did not care. As long as I had those drugs, I could stay up long enough to think. I could try and figure things out. I could plot and scheme to get anything I wanted. And this is where my story with Christ begins. March 2016, I was up for 17 days in a basement in Lafayette, Indiana. I had no hope. I had no care. Hope to me was a small town here in Indiana. And I did not believe in Christ. I had pushed him out, and I never believed in my life. I had a pistol in my hand and my cell phone in my hand, and I was looking through my family photos. And I didn't know what it was like to go back to being normal or what I was going to do with my life. For the first time in my life, I prayed to God. And I said, if you can send someone to help me. And I don't know if it was a moment of clarity, if I was tired from being up for 17 days or what. Yes, I was crying. Yes, I probably lost all control of my mind at that point. But I said, if you send somebody to help me, I promise you, I will be a son again. I will be a brother again. I will be a better man. And Psalms 50:15 says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will forever honor me. And it wasn't within a few moments of that. I hadn't talked to my mom in a long time. I got a text across my phone that says, Chris, are you doing okay, and do you need anything? Amen on that. I said, Mom, I'm a drug addict. If you come pick me up, I'll check into rehab tonight, and I will change my life. March 2016, I walked into rehab. April 2016, I walked into Celebrate Recovery, and I met a man named Scott. And I sat in his office. And he said, what's 5 goals you have for the next year? And we went over those. And that Monday morning, I walked into the Celebrate Recovery room. And I'll never forget that meeting because it was a new meeting. And there was only 2 people there. It was not much celebrating that day. But I met an amazing woman, an amazing guy I can call my friend. As Aaron says, my forever family. Now, you ask me what Celebrate Recovery means to me. There's only one time in that Celebrate Recovery book that it talks about addiction. And that's when it says I'm powerless over my compulsive behavior, my addictions. The rest of Celebrate Recovery is to overcome your hurts, hang-ups, and habits in life. It is not for addicts. There's people in this room who are going through hurts, who are having trouble, who need help. And I promise you, if you walk into that room, you will find someone who can relate to you, who has been through what you have gone through, who will sit down with you. And for the rest of your life, you will have a friend who does not steal from you, who does not want from you, and all they want to do is see you smile. They want to see you happy. Today, I'm a huge part of my family. I have 7 wonderful nieces that my family trusts me with. I can take them anywhere. I can walk into my parents' home and they're in a door locked. I am what I told God I would become. I kept a promise to be a better man, a better person, a better son. I have a job who loves and supports me. I have a family here in these rooms. I have a family in this church. There's people in this room today who probably thought I wouldn't make my amends to them, wouldn't change my life. And I kept that promise. And I hope one day, me and Scott talked about this, I want to see on that wall. People ask me how I do it and how I stay clean. And it's only fitting that it's at this church. And we call it the 3 C's. Closure, comfort, and control. I wake up every morning and I close out what happened yesterday because Chris cannot change it. I can only hold myself accountable to do better the next time. I find comfort every day in knowing that I'm becoming a better man. And I give all my control up to God because when it's in Chris's hands, I make bad mistakes. And that's all I got.
Thanks so much for sharing, you guys. We really appreciate hearing how God is totally at work in the lives of so many people. We are going to do something that we don't do very often. If you're a visitor, I want you to understand we don't do this every week. But we're gonna offer an invitation today. And we're going to put out a call to action for you in 3 different ways. All right? The first is, if you've not yet committed your life to Jesus Christ, what are you waiting on? One of the principles in Celebrate Recovery says, consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. Those first 2 words, consciously choose. If you've never really chosen to follow Jesus Christ, maybe today is the day. It'd be a tragedy for you to walk out not allowing God to start that relationship in your life. The second invitation Now, as we talked about in the book of Mark, the paralyzed man had a mat. We all have a mat in our life. None of us are perfect. We have those weaknesses or those areas or those sins or those struggles that pop up in our life. So what is your mat? Maybe it's a temper that you can't seem to control. Maybe it's an addiction like our friends have shared about with their testimonies. Maybe it's overspending, materialism, pain and regret from your past that you just can't give up, a hurt or harmful habit, or a hang-up that can weigh you down. So God has invited you. He is asking you to get off of your mat and let Him help you move forward. Okay? And the third invite today is, do you have someone in your life that you need to pray for? If not, good for you. But we have a community, like we talked about the opioid epidemic. It's horrible. And suicide and so many things going on in our community. We can always be praying for other people. So we're going to sing a couple more songs as a time of worship, but also as a time of surrender. If you need to make a decision for Christ, if you need to turn over something in your life, or if you just want to pray for someone else, we invite you to come up here anywhere during these next two songs on the steps. Now, sometimes we call this the altar, but really they're steps, okay? An altar represents the idea of sacrifice and surrender. So we'll consider that the altar today, a place to sacrifice and surrender. It's a time for you to come up, pray by yourself. No one's going to ask you questions. You can do that later. But if you feel the need to surrender your life, give up something, or just simply pray for someone else, during these next two songs, we invite you to come forward. So let's stand as we go to the Lord in worship.